I'm rich. I'm an addict. What's up, everyone? I'm really glad to be here. I was sitting thinking about being an addict over there. When I went downstairs before this meeting, I wanted to get a cup of coffee. And I went up to the coffee urn, and the only urns they had said decaf on them. So being the good addict that I am, I had some hope. I was like, maybe it just says decaf, and it's actually regular coffee. And I did the same shit when I was using. You know, I'd get the bag that maybe looked like graham crackers or like pavement. I'd be like, well, maybe it's not that. But that's why I'm here today. I'm talking about acceptance, faith, and humility. I've been so nervous to do this. I've been thinking about this all week. All week. And I've been fantasizing about what it's going to be like when I finally get up here. How crazy it's going to be. How nervous. How I'm going to screw up. How many people are going to be here. And now, you know, I'm here. But the only reason I'm really nervous is because I care. You know what? When I show up to things I don't give a shit about, I tend to not be nervous. And NA has given me a life beyond my wildest dreams. And that's why when I show up here to share my story, I get nervous, right? And I also know when I'm standing up here, sometimes I get worried that like I should be doing something else, especially like at work. Or, you know, as I'm going about my day, I'll be like, maybe I should be making some power move, you know? Like, maybe there's some big plan that I should be doing that I don't know about. And sometimes when I show up to a meeting, if I'm speaking or if I'm sitting or I need to share or I'm talking with someone after the meeting, you get this feeling and you're like, oh my God, this is where I'm supposed to be. There is nowhere else that I'm supposed to be other than right here. Like, I know that 100%. Right? I'm not supposed to be hanging out at my house right now watching Netflix. I am supposed to be here sharing my story, right? So acceptance is the first spiritual principle in this topic. For me, acceptance was all about accepting that I am an addict. And for me, from working some steps and talking to people, I learned that I was always an addict. You know, before I ever picked up a drug, there was just something going on with me that I didn't understand, but I was trying to fix. When I was growing up, my mom used to always tell me that I was the most selfish person that she'd ever met. And I know now that that is like a defining factor of being an addict. That's like, oh, you're self-centered? Welcome to NA. Okay? Growing up, I also did a lot of things that, you know, are addict behaviors. I was always looking for something outside myself that would make me feel like I was a whole person, you know, whatever that meant. You know, I was looking for the next toy, the next group of friends, and, you know, I was always using something. You know, I was always either trying to fit in or check out, right? Sometimes at the same time, you know, I could find some new toy and be like, Mom and Dad, you got to get this for me. It's going to solve all my problems. And that's what I did with drugs too. You know, when I got to that point, it was the same thing. I got to get this because it's going to solve all my problems. Right? So growing up, you know, I also had some of the good traits that we have as addicts. It's not all negative, and that's a humility. Before I started using, I was able to do some stuff. You know, on paper, my life was pretty good before I started using. You know, I was a straight A student in high school. I played sports. I had groups of friends. Now, I was certainly the type of person that liked to cycle between groups of friends, but I'm also a people pleaser, so I wanted all of them to like me, but when I was done with a group of people, I was ready to move on. But I could call any of those people up right now and be like, hey, we cool? And they would be. You know, and that's the fourth step right there. So before I ever picked up a drug, my life was pretty decent on paper, but I always felt that like internal gnawing that like maybe there's something different about me that I was trying to fix. And you know, I did all kinds of things. to fit in. But the day that I used for the first time, something switched. I was like, okay, one, this is it. This is what I've been looking for. Two, this is going to be a problem. This is not going to be something that I'm interested in doing every once in a while. And from the first day that I used, more or less I used every single day until I came to NA. And that's where my disease took me. I spent a lot of time, you know, using was good for a little while. There were some good times. For a while, it really felt like that was the thing that was going to fill the void inside me. You know, what I know now, we call like the God-sized hole. You know, I didn't have a relationship with a higher power then. And I was just an addict trying to do what I could to feel sometimes nothing, sometimes good, sometimes just not bad. At the end, just not sick. You know, I don't know what they're doing in there. So, check it out. I spent a lot of time, after I got through that honeymoon phase of using, doing what I like to call negotiating with the disease of addiction. And what's interesting about the negotiating is usually when you're negotiating, like there's a hostage and then you're the negotiator. For me, I was trying to be the negotiator and the hostage at the same time. Right? And what that looked like was a whole lot of trying to replace drugs with other drugs. You know, maybe I'll only use on the weekend. Maybe if I go to these meetings and still use, I might still know how to use. I did everything. You know, I really spent like a year of my life. Meanwhile, all my relationships were falling apart. I couldn't hold on to a job because I couldn't stop stealing from them. Couldn't stop stealing from my parents. Couldn't stop stealing from my sister. You know, selling my shit, whatever. You know, I could not stop using. Every morning when I woke up, before I brushed my teeth, I needed to use. Because at a certain point with this disease, that's all that matters. So I spent a lot of time negotiating with the disease, being the hostage, trying to figure out every single way that I could wrap my head around in order to, you know, use. I mean, I wanted to use manageably. And the thing that was crazy was like, I just wanted to get to the point where with my using, like maybe I could just hold down a shitty job and still continue to use. And for me, I couldn't even do that. Like I couldn't even get to the point where like I'm using every day, but like I'm not in trouble. Like for me, it was I'm using every day and I'm fucking up my life. That was the only way that I could figure out how to do it. And you know, one day something changed. Sitting in the back of my car, using, and for some reason that day I kept using and I felt like I wasn't getting high. I don't know what it was, but I was sitting there and I kept using. I was like, I don't understand, this isn't working. And for whatever reason, I said to myself, I need help. Now, I didn't know what that looked like. I certainly didn't know that it would lead me to be here. But I can definitely tell you that I knew I needed help. So I came up with a plan like any good addict, and I said, here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna steal money and stuff until I get caught, and then when I get caught, I'm gonna say I need to go to rehab. Because that makes perfect sense when you're using. I'm like, this is a great plan. I can use without consequences because I'm just gonna say, oh, I'm sorry. I've got a problem now. So believe it or not, that's what I did. And when that day of reckoning came, I said, listen, I need help. I need to go to rehab. And what I thought that would look like is like I would get to go to rehab later that week. Like I'd be like, okay, let's get this on the calendar. Let's get rehab on the calendar, maybe Monday, get another weekend in, and then, you know, I'll do what I need to do. Little did I know, you know, surrendering means right now. It means it's time to go because you said I'm ready. And they put me in a car, drove me to a treatment center, and that first night in detox, I was ready to get the fuck out of there. I was sitting there sharing a room with this guy who had sleep apnea. I don't know if you've ever shared a room with someone with sleep apnea. I know there are varying degrees of snoring that can come with that. But for me, you know, I was sick and in a room at 3 in the morning with this dude, which literally sounded like the loudest chainsaw I had ever heard. So I was like, all right, I'm leaving. Goodbye. You know, I'll figure this out on my own. So I went to the nurse's station. I was like, hey, listen, I got to go. I've got some stuff at home. I'm going to just do this myself. Figure it out. I'll wean myself off the drugs and, you know, get everything going. And they told me something which I understand now was my first just for today. They said, hey, listen, you don't have to stay in that room. Just sit out here. You can sit in the lobby. You're not going to sleep tonight anyway. And when you wake up or the morning comes, you tell us how you feel. And when that happens, you can make a decision about whether you want to go or not. Ever since that day, I haven't used. That was it. For some reason, I gave up. And I said, okay, I'm ready to do what you're going to tell me. And, you know, I dove in. I was ready to listen. I was a little bit more open-minded than I had been up until that point. But the real spiritual experience came for me when I started to hear some people from NA come in and deliver an H&I message. There was something about the guys that came into the rehab that was attractive. You know, we talk about attraction rather than promotion. These dudes were not trying to sell me on NA. They didn't say, come in here and you're going to get a new car and a new house and find a new way to live and be a millionaire or whatever. They just talked about what they were doing. And whatever they were doing was way better than what I had been doing before I gotten into rehab. I was like, okay, these guys are fucking cool, and I want to go where they're going when I get out of here. And that was all it took. And I will say that, you know, to this day, H&I is part of my recovery. Once a month, I bring in a meeting to a treatment facility, and it's so important because it puts me right in my place. You know, I show up there and I tell my story and I'm like, oh wait, I don't have problems. I used to have problems. Now I have situations that I need to accept. And that's totally different. So for me, acceptance is about accepting that I am an addict. And that process of turning it over, negotiating with the disease of addiction, realizing that I couldn't handle it, and asking for help was what that looked like for me. Now, I want to also talk about acceptance in a different context. I want to talk about what NA did for me when I first showed up and said, hey, I'm new, I don't know what's going on, but I want in. So what that looked like for me is I showed up to an NA meeting. Like I just said, I raised my hand. I said, I'm new, I need help. The guys in those meetings scooped me up right away. They said, hey, listen, you're welcome here. We want you to keep coming back. We're excited for you to get that 30-day key tag in a week, you know. And they took me out to dinner. They hung out with me. They answered my phone calls. We played basketball together. We got pizza. We got sushi. It was amazing. And it wasn't anything like what it was like when I was using. You know, these were relationships that didn't feel like the relationships I had when I was using because they weren't transactional. You know, there were people that actually cared and showed some love. And they said to me, we love you. Way before I loved myself, you know. And what's so funny is sometimes, you know, this is a really good gut check. If you've been around for a little while, sometimes I like to take a look, open up my step work, and reread that first step, that first step, you know, the one you write when you have 30 or 60 days clean and you're writing all about the using. Sometimes I like to pick that up and read it. There's something really funny about that first step. I was absolutely insane. Like, there is no doubt about it. The stuff I was saying didn't make sense, but it didn't matter because I know that I worked the first step correctly. because I'm still here. And that's an important lesson for me about step work, because sometimes I can think, I need to do the perfect fourth step. You know, if I don't write down everything that's ever happened to me, it's not going to be searching and fearless. That's not what it's about. It's about working the step where I am right now. I know that my second fourth step is not going to be like the first one. And honestly, it would be a problem if they were exactly the same, because that would mean that I hadn't grown, right? So I say all this to say that these guys, when I first came in, they accepted me when I was crazy. And I try to do the same thing for newcomers, because I understand. And if I feel like I don't understand, sometimes I can just open up that book and say, oh, wow, I've come a long way. Second topic is faith. For me, that's steps 2 and 3, coming to believe in a power greater than myself, turning it over. Step 2 for me is about reflecting back on my using and my life and realizing, okay, how am I not dead? How am I not in jail? That's a good place to start, because if you look at the numbers, you know, if you were actually to write down what I was doing every day, chances are I shouldn't be alive. I at least should have some more consequences for my using. The second thing is to look at these coincidences. You know, for me, coming to believe was about looking at what are these things that happened in recovery that just don't make sense. You know, there are these higher powers that I can't explain, you know, that science can't explain, that don't make sense. The first one that came to my mind when I was writing my second step was a story about how I met my first sponsor. I got clean in Philadelphia. I moved to DC with 6 months clean. But that foundation that I was talking about, when those guys scooped me up and said, hey, we're here, we care, that was in Philly. The crazy thing about that is I don't know how I ended up with those guys. The first meeting that I showed up at when I was brand new was at my parents' house. I left there, I said, hey, they told me I'm going to a meeting. It's the first thing I'm supposed to do when I get out of treatment. See you guys later. I show up to the meeting, say whatever I said, and after the meeting, the first guy that comes up to talk to me is this dude that rode to the meeting on a bike. Now, he told me where he lived, and it appeared that he rode his bike about 45 minutes to get to that meeting. And I found out later that he probably only had 60 days clean. And that was the guy who was the ambassador for my first NA meeting, who came up to me and said, hey man, what's going on? How you feeling? Welcome. We talked, and I agreed that I would put his bike in the back of my car and drive him to his place so he wouldn't have to drive back. It was raining that night. And on the way back, he told me, listen man, there's some really good recovery in South Philly. My sponsor goes to this meeting. It's tomorrow night. I want you to come with me. I want you to check it out. And because I was a newcomer, I didn't have shit going on. I was like, that sounds fantastic. I will pick you up tomorrow and we will go to that meeting. Now, from where my parents lived to where this meeting was probably 20, 25 minutes away. And there is no way in hell I would have ever found this meeting if it weren't for this dude. When I showed up to that meeting, all the people that were in my network in Philly were there, including at that meeting, I met my sponsor. Right? He was my first sponsor. We worked together for, I don't know, 2 or 3 years before I switched when I moved to DC. And that doesn't make sense, right? And the craziest thing about that story is that dude that said, hey man, I want you to check out this meeting with me. Within a couple months, he had gotten a girl pregnant, relapsed, overdosed, was found basically dead in the apartment of the girl he was with. The only reason that anyone found him was because someone was there when they weren't supposed to be. You know, one of the roommate's boyfriends just happened to show up and found him blue. Right? This guy is still not clean. He's the one who took me to my sponsor. So sometimes when I think about, you know, what can I get from the newcomer? Maybe I'm only helping them. I gotta remember that story, because I don't know where my help comes from. It could come from the guy with 25 years clean. It could come from the kid who was high at the meeting. It could come from someone with 30 days. It could come from my sponsor. It doesn't matter. It's not up to me where the message comes from. And it certainly doesn't only come from people who have more clean time than me. That's not saying that, you know, clean time isn't important because it means you're doing something right. But for me, it's about keeping an open mind and listening, because I don't know where my health is, my faith is coming from. So I don't want to talk about faith too much more because I want to talk about humility. But I can tell you this one thing about faith. When I was growing up, I was exposed to religion. My parents made me go to CCD. They made me go to church. And I got an interesting thing out of that. It seems like in my childhood, I somehow got all of the negative things that come with organized religion, crippling guilt and shame, but I didn't get the positive thing, which was a belief in God. And that didn't come until I came to Narcotics Anonymous. I was very apathetic about God the whole time that I was using. And, you know, I wasn't saying, fuck God, he's not there, but I certainly wasn't saying, God, please help me to do a great lead before this NA meeting, you know? But when I talked about that with my sponsor, when I was working my second step, he said, have you tried prayer and meditation? And I was like, of course not. Why would I do that? So he said, listen, for the next 7 days, before you go to bed, I want you to spend 5 minutes meditating and get on your knees and pray. I don't care what you pray for. I don't care what you do while you're meditating, but I want you to start this practice. And for me, that built a foundation in combination with these coincidences that I couldn't explain and this realization that, like, why am I still alive? Why am I not in jail? Why am I clean? That was the second step for me. Step three, the faith comes. It's very simple. My girlfriend says this all the time. Step three is very simple. It's about doing the next right thing. When I get all twisted about what God's will for me is, it's about doing the next right thing. When I first started working my third step, I was very confused about that. I was trying to dissect what turning my will over to God and my life looked like. I was like, how do I turn my will over? Is that a physical thing? Is there something that I can do? Do I need to say it out loud? What does that look like? And it's quite simple. If I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing, I just think, what is the next right thing to do? And believe it or not, we as addicts have consciences. It's the reason that, you know, we use generally. I mean, I didn't spend my entire time using feeling great about myself. Most of the time I was using because I felt like shit for all the shitty things I was doing. And today I have a conscience. I can listen to it. And for me, that's my higher power in my ear saying, listen up, Rich, you know what to do here. It's up to you to make the decision. You're going to be taken care of no matter what you do. But there is an easier and softer way, and it's the next right thing. And oftentimes, I'm like, that sounds great. I'm going to do whatever I want. And other times, I say, you're right. The next right thing is the easiest thing to do. So for me, that's what faith is all about. The last spiritual principle is humility. For me, that's all about being right-sized. My disease tells me a lot of very confusing and conflicting things. It can sometimes tell me that I'm the shit and a piece of shit at the same time. That happens a lot at work. You know, so I'm a business owner. I'm self-employed. And I spend a lot of time working with clients, and that can be some of the most difficult thing to deal with and be humble about. A lot of times I will present something to a client and I can act like my whole self-worth is riding on their approval, right? If they tell me, we really liked what you did here, thumbs up, great job, Rich, then I'm like, woo, I am amazing. I'm gonna take the rest of the day off. Let's go spend some money. You are the man. And if they say, could you just fix this? I'm like, wow, you just told me that I'm a piece of shit and I am worthless. And that's what my disease tells me, right? Being humble, living with humility is somewhere in between those things. It's about knowing that I have assets and I have defects. You know, the reason that I'm able to be in business for myself is because I'm good at what I do. That doesn't mean I am a titan. It doesn't mean that I am entitled to have praise 100% of the time, but it also doesn't mean that I'm a terrible person and that everyone hates what I'm doing and all my clients are just conspiring to fire me all at once. Because that's what happens sometimes with my disease. So humility is living in between those two things. It's about being right-sized. For me, I learned a little bit about that in step four. Writing about myself and uncovering what I do, why I do it, and digging a little bit deeper into who I am as a person taught me a lot about humility. The most important thing I learned in step four is that besides being an addict, I'm a human being. And everyone else, whether they're hiding it or not, could write a fourth step and have the exact same feelings that I go through. Because I'm an addict, I'm not as good at managing them. I might feel them a little differently. I might act out on them more, but these are all human feelings. I have human assets, I have human defects, and that's what it's about. If I can live in that, which don't get me wrong, it's not easy, but if I can live in that, I'm living in acceptance and I'm living in faith. I'm really grateful to be here. Thank you all for listening. I never thought I would be here. Thank you for letting me share.